So everybody, I am really excited about today's episode because what we're talking about here has become an Astrology Hub annual tradition, especially in the inner circle where we're embarking on our third year doing this together. So you might have heard us talking about this on previous podcast episodes. Maybe you've even heard whispers in the inner circle about this thing called treasure mapping. And you're wondering what that means. Well, guess what? You are about to find out. Treasure mapping is a powerful tool that can seriously up your visioning and goal achieving game. And today we're learning the how-to from an amazing astrologer, Tracy Cook. First, let me introduce Tracy. She grew up surrounded by astrology and has practically lived and breathed the stars since she was a teenager. She spent decades mastering her craft, and these days her passion lies in helping people harness the power of lunar cycles and cosmic trends. But Tracy's not just about gazing at the sky. She's here to show us how we can use that cosmic energy in tangible ways to fuel our dreams, something we absolutely love here at Astrology Hub. And we're not just talking about regular treasure maps here, folks. There are no pirates involved, unless that's your thing. No, this is a cosmic treasure map, and it's basically a vision board, but with an astrological twist that helps you ride the most potent astrological waves when it comes to manifesting your dreams. Today, Tracy's going to break down the specific astrological energy of the Aries new moon and why it's the perfect time to make treasure maps. She'll talk about the specifics of this upcoming Aries new moon, plus we'll get the scoop on how eclipses can impact the treasure mapping process. I know you might have heard different messages about doing manifestation rituals on eclipses, so I want to share what Tracy has to say about this. Tracy will also give us a down-to-earth breakdown of treasure mapping, what it is, why it works, and how it can be your secret weapon for manifesting your desires. And I don't know about you, but I get fired up when I hear other people's success stories. It gives me even more confidence in my own visioning. So over the past 2 years, many of you have made your treasure maps in the inner circle and some on your own. So today, Tracy's going to be sharing some success stories from community members who've used the technique themselves. And next week, I'll be sharing even more successes from our members, including intimate details about the treasure map I did last year. That live episode will happen next Wednesday, April 3rd. So stay tuned for that. Another thing that I find so powerful is how treasure mapping perfectly complements the composting and releasing work we've been guiding our participants through as part of your Eclipse Pathway to Purpose, the guided journey that we're leading. While the composting board is designed to help you release what you're done with, perfect for the Libra South Node eclipse we just had, the treasure mapping is designed to help you call in what you're ready for, perfect for the Aries North Node eclipse we're about to have. We're recommending you do your composting board sometime between now and before the April 8th Aries new moon. Now, if you're wondering what the heck I'm talking about, check out the Powerful Releasing Practice podcast we did with Gemini Brett a few weeks ago. The link is in the show notes. And finally, if you want to join us and get even more guidance through the Eclipse portal and get access to all the supportive materials we've created to help you really harness the energy happening right now, it's not too late to join us for our free Your Eclipse Pathway to Purpose 2-week guided journey. Our second live astrologer panel is tomorrow, March 29th. It's all about how to decode the eclipses in your personal chart, featuring Rick Levine, Andrea Michelle Kennedy, and Leslie Tagorda. It's going to be awesome. Go ahead and register as long as you do that before April 11th, 2024. You'll get access to the free resources we're offering as part of this guided journey. Go to astrologyhub.com/eclipse2024 to get access. Now, please join me in welcoming Tracy Cook back to the Astrology Hub podcast. Tracy, welcome. I have to say, we have created quite a movement together. Thank you so much for bringing treasure mapping to our community, and it is such a joy to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much, Amanda. It is such a joy to be here. I'm so excited. I'm so thrilled that we got connected 3 years ago, and I just felt it was really, I felt it was a good fit for Astrology Hub.
You were right. And people are, more and more people every year are doing it. And I'm calling them treasure mapping miracle stories because there are so many, just like chills all over the body. Are you serious? That happened. Testimonials from this process. So, and there's even people who say, you know, I vision board, I've done a bunch of visioning and manifestation, but it wasn't until I aligned it with the astrological currents that it really took off. So, I mean, that's what we're introducing to the whole visioning conversation here, right?
Yeah. And, you know, because of my own background, I mean, it's such a, it was a long way to get here. But now it all makes sense to me.
I love that. I love that when you can look back and put all the pieces together. Okay. So Tracy has created actually a beautiful presentation for us here today. So we're going to have some visuals that'll help everything come to life. So Tracy, you want to go ahead and start the presentation part?
Yeah, but we don't have to put the first slide up quite yet. I just kind of want to backstory. And the backstory is, where did treasure maps come from? How did it even happen? And for that, I need, and I should have a slide that has Buzz's photo on there, but I don't have it. Next time I'll put that up. But it started in 1996 with Robert Buzz Myers. And Robert Buzz Myers was a great astrologer. He came out of Euclid, Ohio, and then Virginia Beach. And he had these workshops, and he had students. And he was just so gifted, and he was Scorpio. So, you know, he brought depth. And I was introduced to Buzz through a friend of mine named Margaret, who was from Ohio, and she knew Buzz, and she did his workshops. And she said, I think you'd really like him. And so I started collecting. I started getting his tapes, and they were audio cassettes. They were old-fashioned. They would be mailed to you, and I would get his monthly lunar month lessons. And he would just talk about what's going on. It was all mundane astrology, which is the world. And that's kind of my special place I like to hang. I mean, I do natals, but I really like the mundane. And he, in April of 1996, he said, this Aries, and by that point, I had been following him for 6 years. And he said, I want everybody to do treasure maps. And then he explained it on the cassette. And I heard it and I got it. And so I immediately called up Margaret and my other friend, Anne. And I said, we're going to Margaret's house and we're going to make treasure maps. Now, this is 1996. This is way before the zeitgeist of vision boarding. That comes later, where it really kind of hit the world. So we went up the street, we got all our magazines, we came down, and Buzz was kind of loose about it. He just said, figure out, you know, you guys put, you know, make a collage. I think he called it that. And then he might have used the word vision board, but I kind of don't remember that part. So we made our maps. And I, at that point in my life, wasn't dating anybody. I worked in the entertainment business. I was crazy hours and just had my focus was all over the place and not really with domestic stuff. But at this point, I was kind of feeling like, where's my man? I'm kind of ready for a man. And I kind of sensed there was one somewhere out there. And so I pulled a bunch of images and I was drawn to this one image, which was a Ralph Lauren ad, and you know, always on brand Ralph Lauren. This model guy was on a yacht, and there was just something about his look that I was attracted to. And so I ended up putting this guy on my map, and I thought, well, that's interesting, where'd he come from? I mean, it was just kind of so one of the things that Buzz said was, if you do it on the Aries new moon, and we'll get into why new Aries, you will start seeing manifestations by Cancer new moon, which would be, you know, June, basically June or July. I can't remember what happened that year. I think it was June. And he said, it's, you know, it's the first quarter off the new moon of the map. Mm-hmm. So all that made sense. And Margaret had a lot of great things on her map. And we made our maps, and within days, she started getting things that were on her map. And within a couple of weeks, she met a man, and that is who she married. And I was, you know, just kind of like in my production mind and television and just doing my stuff. And I met a guy on a show that I was working on, and that became my boyfriend, who is now my husband. And we've been married 25 years this fall. And the Matt part of this story is, yes, I met him. He's actually a few years younger than me. And, you know, models tend to be on the younger side. And his whole family are yachts people. They all sail. So once that happened, I mean, this is the rom-com part of the treasure mapping story. But once that happened, it was like, got it. Understand. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
So that is, so what happened is my friends and I, this is the 90s, we're meeting in people's houses and talking about it. And I never really ever finished a map at someone's house. I would start it, and then usually I'd take it home and just put it together and, you know, make my map. But we were just, everybody was having these manifestations. So I knew this is beyond me, beyond my little friends. There's something going on here. And I continued this practice, and then I moved it to the cyber world in the 2000s when everybody was, now we were all talking to each other in cyberland. And from there, I gathered a group of people, and then we have stayed connected in our treasure mapping, and we've expanded. So now I really can start seeing it and seeing the manifestations and how they've evolved. And they have evolved within my community, and they also evolve as a human. I'm just a different person than I was 30 years ago. My needs are different, and all of this ends up in the map. And I actually think, that where we are now in these 2020s is, these are, I think, with Pluto and Aquarius, we're in now this new space, and now we're really ready for our mapping. If that makes sense. And I think that's why it's been well received in Astrology Hub.
Yeah, I agree. And it is like the proof is in the pudding. And there's been so many people in our Inner Circle membership. I asked a question in our private community, like, can I get some treasure mapping stories? I want to hear your miracle stories. And there's just story after story after story after story. And so when people are having that kind of result, it's like, maybe there's something here. And I know that vision boarding in general can be very powerful, and people have success stories all the time. I think what's really amazing about this is somewhat of the predictability in terms of the timeline. Yeah. You know, with the, like, we go to that Cancer new moon, and then we go to the Libra new moon. And then I also love the rhythm that it creates for the year. And there's just these 90-day increments of check-in points on that treasure map. And I mean, there's a million things I love about it, and I can't wait to keep, like, go in deeper. But it just, you know, the first year we did it, it was kind of like, ooh, this is fun. Let's see what happens. And then my treasure map, literally everything came true. And my daughter's treasure map came true, which we can talk about later. It needs parental approval from now on. Literally, you have to submit your treasure map to me to make sure that I am okay with whatever you're trying to get best. Yes, exactly. But yeah, so anyways, I think we should go into the
next slide. Let's go to
and then we'll talk more about stories, because there's some miraculous stories, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, so if you can pull up the first slide, and I'll be able to see it, right?
Hopefully. I would assume so, yes. I think we'll both see it.
Okay. Ah, very good. Okay, so we'll pass that one. Can you go to the Aries one? Oh, next Aries. That's a magnet on my fridge.
It looks pretty, though.
There we go. So why do we do it at Aries? Because Aries is the first sign of the zodiac, and this is how we begin our lunar year. And I work with the lunar months. So, you know, all the new moons, let's just say it that way. And with Aries, we are just forceful. The energy is like, here we are. It's direct. It is everything pioneering, assertive, action-oriented, dynamic, enthusiastic, energetic, ambitious, trend-setting, takes initiative. It's hot. It's fearless. It does things whether it knows it can do it or not, but there's such a strength in it. It says, yeah, I'm doing it. And that is the energy that we're bringing to our map. We're tapping this energy. And the value in tapping the energy is because so much of all of us is busy. We're all busy. Now, if we're all busy, we're probably taking care of things and other people. For those of us who are mothers, obviously our focus is, a lot of our energy goes towards our family and our household and keeping, you know, what does so-and-so need? What do I got to do about this? We're outwardly focused. Well, you love in your life that needs stuff. I think Pluto in Capricorn for the last 20 years has shown people need stuff and we've had to show up for them. So who we are is we're outwardly focused for the rest of the world, a lot of our life. But on Aries, on the Aries new moon, you have permission to be all about you. Me, 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 and more me, 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 me. And a lot of people don't even know what it means to think about, well, what do I want? What are my needs? What's calling me? What do I need to do? What do I need to accomplish? This is the luxury of Aries. And that is what we do, what we bring to our maps. We tap in to our needs. And I, not needs in a Cancer way, but it's like a need on a passion level. Just on this, it's your very persona, those needs that you have. And it's kind of amazing when you tap in, like, wow, I didn't know I needed that. And we can do this during this Aries cycle. That's why we make these maps now, these vision boards that are called treasure maps. That was Buzz's word, and I always will use them as treasure maps. So in this spirit, we make our vision board. Now, if you can turn to the next slide, this is my little mock vision board or treasure map. So it's just, this isn't a real human, but I, a real person's map, but it kind of just gives you the vibe. I mean, it can look sloppy. It can look neat. It can look any way you want it to look, but it just is your basic, I think where I'm at this point of the game, understand what a vision board looks like. Now, I do want to talk about affirmations. Like I think when I made this so many years ago, my guardian angel helps me. Okay, fine. That was what I did. But when it comes to affirmations, and periodically I'm going to just take some of my notes out because I like to read them because I don't want to miss any nuance. I'm pretty sure everybody knows how to write an affirmation, but the one thing I would like to stress is writing affirmations in the present tense. Instead of writing, I will be strong or I will be healthy, write, I am strong, I am healthy. Instead of, I will get a career I love, go for, I love my career. Now that writing in that present tense can be hard. So if you really feel like, if you're in a crap job and you're like, I cannot write the words, I love my career, which, okay, I get. Then why don't you do this? You put a little qualifier in there. I am happy and grateful that I have a career that I love. Sometimes that makes it a little easier to get to the present tense. And if you get stuck, you can go to YouTube and they have a whole kinds of how to write an affirmation. Okay, so can we turn to the next slide? So in terms of laying it out, so this happened about a year or two after my first map with my three friends. And my friend Ann said, you know what? I want to use the Bagua maps from Feng Shui, and I want to use that when I put all my items on my map. And as soon as she said it, I said, oh gosh, you're so smart. And she is smart. She's very clever and very funny, but that's a whole other story. But she, by doing that, when she said that, I realized, as did she, that you cover all parts of life if you use the Bagua, if you use a Feng Shui Bagua grid, because it's got you can see wealth and prosperity, fame, fame, by the way, is who you are in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be famous. Love and marriage, children and creativity, helpful people and travel, career, life path, knowledge, self-cultivation, health and ancestors, and health and just the center of who you are. So now this is the Feng Shui Bagua, but you can use anything. You can use the chakras. You can lay it out like an astrology wheel. You could do a circular. You could do the 12 houses, the 12 sides, whatever you want. And you also don't have to be this organized. You can do what you want to do. The reason why I like this is because it covers a lot, but I don't want to, I really like the idea of everybody taking care of all their life, but I also don't want to be so judgy and restrictive that maybe this year you're not going to just do everything. You're going to only focus on one thing. And that if it's calling you, then go for it. But one thing I do recommend is put your picture and your name on your map. Own your map. Okay, so if you could change the next slide. So what happens with the maps is when you, at least for me, and I think other people, and Amanda, you've probably bumped into this in your community, is you start communicating with your higher self. You might start off, well, I know I need a new car. I'm putting a new car on. Or it could be as perfunctory as that. But as you start to get into the process, you might be finding yourself tapping into something that's bigger than you. And that's the gift, I think, of the Aries new moon, of the mapping. It's just you're starting to kind of get into something bigger. And the path of you, I don't know, the path of you and your maker, something's starting to happen. And it's this willingness to let this other communication happen with something maybe bigger than you is powerful. And it maybe needs Aries. I mean, I know that a lot of the imagery for Aries is based on the Northern Hemisphere, and I don't want to just make it Northern Hemisphere centric, but the power of Aries is spring. This flower, this bulb breaks through the permafrost or whatever the conditions are, and it comes up and says, I believe in me and I trust. I mean, that's a powerful image, but I believe in me and I trust is maybe not everybody's jam most of the year. And this is that time where you allow yourself to do it. And so what you're trusting and what your spirit is telling you or whatever's your guides are telling you are probably like, yay, thank you. Let me talk to you. And like I said, it's a willingness of I'm going there. I don't know exactly sure where I'm going precisely, but I know I'm going there. Okay, so now I want to get into a few stories. If you could turn to treasure map number one. And again, I'm going to read from this because I don't want to lose any nuance. So, and I talked to all of these people within the last couple of weeks because I wanted to check in with them. So this treasure mapper number one, if you notice, there's some language on the map says, open to possibilities of my own home, personal space, sanctuary. These are some of the words. So shortly after treasure mapper one made her map, a situation came up in her home and it was clear she needed to move out. A friend offered her an ADU for free. She lived there for about half the year. She did not know she would need it. But to me, if you look at all these small houses, I think they look kind of ADU-ish. Additional dwelling unit for people who don't know what ADU means. The sacred space where she lived, I think the sacred space that where she lived turned out to be the perfect respite that her map told her she might need. She also has see the world and travel. Again, this was nothing on her calendar. But later in the year, she was asked to accompany a client on two trips, one to California, she doesn't live in this state, and one trip to Canada, all unexpected. Both trips were fun, and she's got Let's Play on her map. Also interesting, she had reconnect with family and friends. One trip reconnected her with lost friends, And she's also reestablished relationship with an important family member whom she had been disconnected for years. She also has the words life without pain, grow and learn and relax. Now, when I asked her to sum up this year, she said she felt well cared for. Friends and clients really stepped up, but it was also about her. And her quote was, it has been about me taking care of self, me not waiting for others to do things. It was about me doing what I must do. My self-confidence is within. I'm done fighting. I want cohesive relationships with the people in my life. No more off and on. And I think when you look at her map, you can feel the sturdy and cohesiveness in this map. So that is map one. Now, if we can go to map two. Okay, so this is mapper two. And she also had important manifestations in her personal life that have been very rewarding and nurturing and very much needed. Her marriage got stronger in new ways. She won, and all that is great. But I wanted to zero in on this part of her map. This is, she had this down in the work section of her map. It's obviously focused on writing. And as you can see, she has new opportunities, creating worlds of animation, my breakthrough script. And so she's here in LA, and given that the WGA and SAG were on strike for nearly half the year, I spoke to her about 10 days ago and asked, so how's it going? And she said that her project, the one she's been working on before the strike, is still standing. This is saying something because the studios killed a lot of projects. But in this treasure mapper's case, not only is it alive, but the studio also put some money into it to get it to the next level. She will be doing an important presentation. I think it's maybe today, because I talked to her 10 days ago. It's either today or maybe tomorrow. And what's interesting is that if they move to an official green light before the 8th, before the next treasure map time on the 8th, and if she does have that, then this is something I've said before. Sometimes these manifestations will happen the very last week of the year of the map. And that will be the case if hers does move up to the next level, which I thought was really interesting. The fact that her project is still hanging in there in the studio is remarkable. So now move to treasure map number three. So last year, and Amanda, you know this because I was just talking about it the year before, talked about it last year. Last year was complicated because we had two new Aries new moons, and it was like which one to choose, and we had lots of options. And this person did what the same thing I did, which is she used both new moons. She cut images and words on the first Aries new moon, and on the second one, she glued it. She also cut images then. And she and I had a really long conversation about it. So she said, I went into the map without specific goals, no clear intention. I just wanted to feel better and take up my own space. I was open to letting the images just come to me, and I trusted it. At the time she made the map, she was 34, married, two kids, working an ungodly 70 hours a week. She had a toxic boss. Her husband treated her poorly. She felt like she was off as a mom. She was disconnected from her own value. In that rough personal landscape, she made this map, which you can see is filled with inspirational images and words such as, there is no better time than now. Clear your mind and prioritize a more comfortable work-life balance. Make space that matters. There are years that ask questions and years that are answers. It's an uplifting, connected to something more than what was her reality. She has lots of visuals, but the one that really called her, even now when I spoke to her, was a young girl looking at art supplies. She was drawn to her because the girl was comfortable in her own skin. She said she felt it connected to her own inner child, which to her represented, I am enough. The map was potent. In July, during the Cancer lunar cycle, her toxic boss was fired. This started a whole series of events. She was bumped up at her work. She was now in charge of the schedule. Her hours were normalized. Her salary increased. Her life became more hers. The crazy was gone at work. Once she let go of the toxic boss, she let go of the toxic at home. she filed for divorce. She now has a set of new coworkers, new friends, none who know her husband. And she said, I stand in my center with maximum confidence in all relationships. In the children's section of her map, she put an owl. Owls are wise. Before her separation, she never felt she could ask for help, but now she has a whole community who are stepping up and offering support. She said her kids are doing more activities than they ever did before this year. One thing she put on her map was very insightful. And this, again, speaks to when you're connected on the other side. She wrote, beat your worst financial habits. Somewhere along the way, she had decided that she had bad financial habits, reinforced by her husband and some other people. As she pulled out her fiscal documents for her lawyer, she realized, hey, I'm actually smart about finances. I have sound practices. She has more understanding on who she is. She said a lot of other things about the map and manifestations, but overall, she felt this map has helped change her life more than any other map. She has been doing them for about 10 years. She said, quote, I am more centered, but it is not forced. This is an art for me. And if you'll see up there, it is the art that lights you up. Once I participated in these life-changing things as art, I didn't know I could feel this good. And also in there, she has home is a world worth living in. Okay, treasure mapper number 4. Now, this one is crazy interesting. Okay. So this mapper and I had this conversation. She told it. She and I went deep, and she said, and here's what you'll notice. You will see she has one of a kind treasure. She has the words rooted inheritance. And she said a couple months after she made her map, a relative in the family died. She had zero idea that there would be any inheritance from this person. And she was surprised when she ended up with a custom topaz and diamond ring, a true one of a kind treasure. She also has the words create abundance and stability, find life's true calling, and you'll notice the bees and the woman blowing the dandelion. Besides the ring, there was some money in the inheritance, so that's adding to her stability. When she made this map, she was unemployed. Her previous job folded, and it had been a stressful job that did not bring her joy. She really wanted a job that connected to her essence, her life's true calling. In July, she was offered 4 jobs in 1 week, and she almost blew off the last offer because she had said yes to one of the other 4. However, she took the meeting, and it turned out to be a job in a watershed project run by her city. Her job is to identify areas taken out of the mowing cycle, then seed it for the pollinators. They let the weeds and the grass grow so that the pollinators, bees, can use it, maybe dandelions, for example, as their fuel. She had no idea there was even such a job when she made her map. The job provides more financial security, and it speaks to her inner calling, which are both on the map, and she loves it. She said this is a dream job. She has been making maps for a long time, and she said that in the first year, she put things she wanted and had successes, but now my map feels different. Quote, my map has become more like an oracle. I know this is a wow one. She said,
The last one, they've all been wow ones. So when you said wow, this one's even more wow, I was like, whoa, really?
And she said, I cut out 3 times more than I use, and I take my time and use my intuition. Paring it down is the hardest part, but she says she trusts the process. She mentioned to me that the last year she was working at the bad, this is really cool. She mentioned to me that the last year she was working at the bad job, she was doing inner work and meditations to figure out what she needed. And in a meditation, a hay bale image popped up. She didn't know what it meant. Now, as she looks at her map and thinks about that hay bale from a year earlier, she said, hay is really, at the end of the day, a tall grass. That image, this map, speaks to the oracle experience given where she landed this year. It all makes sense. Okay, and then the final map example is my own. I always, you know, because I think you guys are special, I always share mine. It's a lot of pressure, by the way.
I know, because I'm going to be doing that next week.
I know, that's all on you.
Yeah.
She said, me. That's so sad. So I use both new moons for my map. And I just want to say this, a little astro, and especially the mapper before who did it. Between map one and map two last year, or between Aries, the first one at 0 degrees Aries eclipse, at no, 0 degrees Aries new moon. And then the second one was 29 Aries and it was an eclipse. Once something big had happened in between the two, and that was Pluto had moved into Aquarius. And that was part of the reason why I definitely wanted to tap the energy of the second one. Because Pluto is going to be, at that time last year, Pluto was going to be in Aquarius, obviously, for 20 years. I said, well, it's coming anyway. I might as well start tapping that energy. And that's why I kind of wanted to use the Pluto information in my map. Okay. So when I made my map, I was drawn to the yellow board. It is a color associated with the solar plexus. It connects to inner strength. And I was not sure why I did it, but I went for it. So just a side note, years ago on my drive from job to home, there was on the freeway one of the tallest sunflowers I have ever seen. It was alone near an off-ramp. Every time I saw that summer, I smiled. It was just a pop of joy. I always think of sunflowers as that, a pop of joy. For some reason, I was drawn to put a sunflower on my map. I also put the word success with a yellow background under the flower. When I completed the map, I could feel the joy. That day, after I made my map, I ordered groceries and the delivery gal surprised me with a sunflower. She said, I give it to all my customers. I thought, wow, sunflower is trying to get my attention. Now, a year later, I know why. My year has had a lot of hurdles and responsibilities. Lots of loved ones in hospitals, lots of driving, coordinating, figuring out situations, making sure I did my best for each of them in a world that was new to me. I have zero background in medicine or healthcare, but somehow I did it. I had important successes, and even in the grind of the day or the grind of the murkiest situation, I had pops of joy. Those pops of joy kept me going. I always have on my map some language about timing, and this year was no exception. I wrote, I am happy and grateful that I have perfect timing. Where to begin? Arrived at the hospital when the case manager was available. Showed up at a library when the perfect person behind the desk gave me the exact info that I needed, which no one else would have had or known. A person cancels an appointment with me, and then I was available to talk to someone about something important that popped up. Or there is a cancellation, and I do as my map says, quote, wisdom is knowing when to rest, when to have activity, and how much to have of each to have. And instead of doing, I just watched TV. I had a year of divine faith and trust, which is on my map. I cannot lie, we did not increase our earnings in 2023. But in a town with major strikes for 5 months, we felt fortunate that we survived. We got financially bruised and it was not our biggest money year, but somehow we survived and didn't have to sell our home and move. So that does tap my map where I wrote, I am abundant. I also want to say joining colleagues on the picket line, seeing old friends, connecting with folks tapped another abundance, the abundance of community. I am an activist for various reasons, including public education. I'm a member of many political groups and I have lots of responsibilities, lots of meetings, lots of assignments. I had successes in those areas and there were pops of joy. There was also, as it says on my map, a lot of forward thinking. I had a lot of that, conversations and activities. I am happy and grateful that the world appreciates me. For sure, I felt appreciated, not just with my sick friends and family, but by others in their own ways. Welcome is on my map. I felt welcomed in a lot of circles. I also have Storyteller, a journey of self-expression. I tap authenticity every day. I wrote a lot this year. I wrote about my journey in this city and in life. I had many people tell me how much they appreciate my storytelling. This is joyful for me because if you know anything about writing, You are alone and when doing it and no real sense if anyone gets it. I was confirmed a lot this year that people got what I was expressing. I put up finished first draft of novel, and that did not happen. But my book, which is set in historical Los Angeles, has a much stronger outline and my characters are more fleshed out. And speaking of divine timing, there were incredible random ways old LA and my story came to life for me this year. These are clear signs to me that my story needs to get out there. To the universe, I say, message received. There are other goals that were not realized, but if I look at the map, I did not give travel what it deserved. I even put the picture of a suitcase on the wrong Bagua. I knew last year on some level, this was not the year for me to travel, but I was so pleased my husband and son did go to Europe. And I do have one small trip scheduled next week. So this treasure map will have a trip on it. And that is my map. So now we move on to when do we make our treasure map? So moving to the next slide. Obviously. So the Aries new moon is April 8th, and it is 11:20 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. I'm in L.A., so that's why I use it. And the waxing period ends on April 23rd. That is just when the full moon starts. Obviously, it's the waxing period. So you go from new to full. And in the old days, I used to tell people, oh, make your map right away. Harness all the Aries energy. Go for it. Well, people's lives are what their lives are. And it's sometimes too complicated. And as we all talked as a community, we realized that people could make their maps the first quarter and have success. And some did need the whole time before the full, and they had success. So I think that the waxing is the time to do it, but I would begin the process. I actually think if you know you're going to make a treasure map, you are probably already starting to feel the energy shift on the new moon. So even if you're not clipping images, your psyche is already starting to get there anyway. So that all is important to it. Now, can you turn to this next slide? I'm a little fuzzy. Yeah. So this particular Aries new moon has the sun moon conjunct Chiron, the sun moon conjunct Mercury, which will be exact on the 20 on April 11th. And then there is the sun moon semi-sextile Jupiter and Uranus. And then the Mars will conjunct Saturn on the 10th. So that's a conjunction. And then Jupiter Uranus conjunction is certainly a conjunction on this chart, but it was exact on April 20th. And I'll be sensitive to the astrology and not, I know there's so many great astrologers talking about the charts, but what I want to say is that obviously Mercury is retrograde. That's okay. We don't let that stop our maps because what do we know about Mercury? When it retrograde, it means slow down. Did we miss something? Is there something we got to take care of? So this particular and maps that are made on Mercury retrograde, and we've had plenty of them in the 25 years I've been doing this or longer than that. You'll maybe tap into something that you've been neglecting that you didn't know you need. And that's a gift from a Mercury retrograde in a map. And also with all this Aries and because of the sun and you have the moon and you've got Venus and you've got Mercury there and Chiron, I'll talk about in a second, is that if that's a lot of energy. And if you're getting angry during this eclipse in a new phase, you know, the first quarter, let's say, well, obviously up until the 10th with the Mars Saturn conjunction. What does the anger tell you? What's really going on? Usually anger, and I don't want to get all psyche on you, everybody, but usually anger is there's some sadness underneath, a disconnect. Especially with the Mars Saturn conjunction in Pisces, it's okay to kind of lean into the disconnect. Like, okay, well, what is this? What message is? Why am I losing it? go deeper. And maybe there's something that you'll tap that'll end up on your map. Also, to be straight up, maybe you need to get angry. Maybe you've been doing the South Node in Libra and just peace at any cost. Well, how's that working? So I'm not judgy about anger. I would never judge it during Aries, but think about what it's speaking to. It's speaking to something. It could be speaking to something bigger in your life. And this is your map, your life. So you don't owe anyone an explanation for what you put on your map. It's your business. You may not even know why you put it on your map. So this chart has a lot of foot on the gas, foot on the brakes. You probably have already been hearing this in your work that you've been doing, Amanda, with other astrologers. But the Mars-Saturn conjunction is definitely brakes. All that airy stuff is all the fire, and that's all the gas. But the Mars-Saturn, I think we should all kind of lean into it a little bit. I hope, Nat's got too much of an opinion in there. I will suggest to everybody again, especially this year, especially with the eclipse, you do not need to make your map and have it be done the first day or 2 days. Let's let this breathe a little bit. With the Mars Saturn over here, I definitely think we need to let it breathe. It's, you know, Mars rules Aries, but he's not in Aries. He's in Pisces. He is having to do the work that Saturn is saying of, we got to tap our emotions, those, and our cosmic emotions, and the part of us that we don't understand the world. And we got to be metaphysical. We got to just do. And Mars is like, wait, I got to do this stuff. I got to be a warrior for faith. Yeah, you do. And his Mars's girlfriend Venus is already, and Venus in Aries, you know, she's kind of like loving a little war. But we have to kind of tap that. I would be leaning into the, I guess what I'm giving everybody permission is, be okay with some weird stuff that might come up on your map that doesn't make sense. Be aware of your internal, whatever your internal is telling you. And then also, we got to talk about Chiron. And I'm sure all your astrologers have gone long on Chiron. So Chiron is we're going to use the word planetoid, because is it a comet? Is it an asteroid? I really don't know. I don't have a condo on Chiron, so I can't really tell you. But it is, it's been in the sign Aries since basically 2019. It's going to be there till 2027. And Chiron was discovered in the mid 70s, and it is a centaur. It's what we call one of the centaurs. Those are the objects, comets, asteroids, whatever, that are out farther. He's not in the asteroid belt. He is farther out than that. The asteroid belt is between Jupiter and Mars, but he's farther out. And the myth around Chiron, and I don't need to get long about him, is that he was super smart. He's a centaur, so he's half man, half horse. He was abandoned by his mortal mother. He never knew his father, Cronus, Saturn. He became a gifted teacher, and he had many students, and one of his students got drunk and shot him. And he never could cure his wound because he was immortal. And eventually what he said, he wanted to be free from the pain. And so he had to give up being immortal and so he could be free from the pain. So wherever Chiron is where we're trying to heal ourselves. And we might not successfully heal ourselves, but we will, by the effort that we're making to heal ourselves, we're healing other people. We're helping other people heal. So I will often talk about, so when Chiron got discovered in the 70s, it was in Aries, where it is now, which is so interesting to me. So when I was born, I like to make it personal, not to make it personal, but just kind of help illustrate. I was born when Chiron was in Aquarius, and that's the sign of technology and working with others in group dynamic. They are older than me, but this is the same placement as Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Oprah Winfrey. They have had their own peaks and valleys, their own wounds, but they've also had their successes and they're for all of us to see. But I think you can feel the Aquarius with them. And the fact that I'm even here talking about astrology on a Zoom in this technology is me working with my own Chiron and Aquarius. I have it in the 11th house, but this is, and hopefully nobody will shoot me with an arrow. But I think it's important to also note that this new moon is right on it. I mean, you really can't get more. It's exact. It's 1924 degrees. So we are all learning something about independence, about being fiery. I met my husband when I was later. I was 38 when I met him. And I know a lot about being independent and being out there and just kind of, you know, living my own life in the most authentic way that I can. And it's really, I just will tell you from personal experience, if you can do it, if you can stretch yourself in that independence, you will be, I believe you will find reward. And if your map is going to help you stretch your independence, don't be afraid of it. I know the South Node in Libra is always, you will bring South Node in Libra is like, no, I don't want to be alone. But if you can do some authenticity and bring it, the relationships you will be better, more. You will be more in alignment with who you are, and the people you will be in your life will be in more alignment. And the relationship with the person you're having breakfast with in the morning will be stronger. But so all of your relationships, even the ones that aren't your spouse, everything kind of improves. And I think that I think that the treasure map helped me to get here to talk to people about that very thing, because it came to me so late. But I had the rewards of it, and then I met my husband, and now we're together this long, and that's a nice story for me. But really, what I think is, I bring this all, especially now with Pluto in Aquarius, and Chiron in Aries, and we are in. And the last time we had an Aries new moon on Chiron was in 2020. And that was the spring of 2020 when we went into shutdown. And you can see people were mad about, I want to be independent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I need it. And so we had that lesson in front of us. And that lesson maybe wasn't great for a lot of people. Sorry about the sirens. I can't shut the little firing going on behind me, if you can hear it.
Yeah, no.
And now, well, I'm glad you couldn't hear it. Okay. And so now we're having it again. It's a little even more exact this time than it was back then. I think that I'm not suggesting we're going to have a COVID lockdown or anything, but I'm just saying there will probably be something that will pop up in the world that we'll see and like, oh yeah, this is Chiron. We might feel it. I will say I went backwards to see, well, when was the last one that was on Chiron? Was in 1975, April 11th. And at that time, that was the month and shortly thereafter that the United States pulled out of Saigon. So we had, there's independence and breaking free. And I thought, ooh, that's interesting. So that's kind of like that part of the new moon chart. And then if you can turn the page, and I'm going to move through this quickly. So I think that all of our maps are personal. Of course they are. They're our maps. But when we're making our maps and we're tapping into something bigger, I will make a suggestion that perhaps we're tuning into what's coming down the road. And we have a lot of astrology landscape changing. We've got Pluto in Aquarius. It's going to go into Capricorn one more time in the fall. Then it'll go out. And then we're going to have it until 2043. Yes. And then Saturn will move into Aries next year. That's a big one. Uranus will move into Gemini in 2026. Neptune will move into Aries in 2025. And then Saturn and Neptune will conjunct on February 20th, 2026 at 0 degrees Aries. That's going to be it. That's going to be a big one. But I'm just saying, we have all this coming to us, and maybe some of the things that are going to be put on our map that are going to put us in a different direction or a new direction. I just note to the semi-sextile that we're having with Uranus and Jupiter. That kind of is a little friction. So there may be some stuff in our map that doesn't, that we maybe will have a hurdle come up, but then there will probably be there will be an opportunity from the hurdle, and all of that will inform our map, or our map will inform us of the hurdle and the friction. Not sure. With semi-sextiles, I'm never exactly sure because they're so weird. And so anyway, we have all of this landscape. So maybe all of this will be somehow talking to us, and it'll all make sense down the road. And okay. And then what's the final slide? I think we're at. Yeah. What do we do now in our treasure map? Oh yeah, Amanda, yes, we clean up. We get rid of stuff. We clear our houses. We clear our cars. We get rid of the junk. We open up the junk drawer and throw out the stuff. But we go through our billboard. We also go through our emails. No longer unsubscribe, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. We clear out. We also maybe take some names out of our phone. I don't ever want to hear from that person again. Whatever you want to do, you got to do some house cleaning. Try to do. Now, you don't have to. You might benefit by some house cleaning, because what did Einstein say? He said, no two things can occupy the same space. So we're going to create some space, so that when we're walking around our house, we're not feeling depressed, like, oh God, I never got rid of that or that broken chair. We're clearing out our head. We're clearing it out. So we will be, and you're going to do what you're going to make those burning boards, which is great. And we're just clearing out our space in any way we can, so that when we're ready and we're in the new moon, we're ready to receive some information. And I think that's it. And that was a lot of stuff I covered.
So great, Tracy. I do have some questions that have come in from the audience. And then also there were some questions in the inner circle too. So one of the questions that came up in the inner circle was from someone who made her map last year on the Aries new moon that was in eclipse. And she was saying that she got a lot of the things on her map, but they ended up sort of being they sort of worked against her in a way, you know, like she got the dream job, but then it turned out to be a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it was a really interesting reflection. And so her question was, well, but actually, so this is what she first wrote. Then she posted subsequently and was like, oh, I needed to give it a little more time because now I did just land the dream job. And like, so it did end up working out for her. And she's like, and now I can see sort of why I needed to have that first experience in order to have this experience. So what you said before about like, sometimes it takes the whole year for things to work out. You can definitely see that. But the question is about eclipses, because we hear a lot of astrologers warn against doing manifestation rituals around eclipses. And I know you've been doing this for like 20 years, and I'm sure that it has landed with eclipses before. What has your experience been? What do you say about just the eclipse and manifesting around eclipse energy?
So the last eclipses would have been in 2005. And six, I think, five and six or four and five, five and six, I think. And I got to tell you, I don't have some overwhelming memory of them not being years of manifestation, not at like, oh, what a bust. What a bust that year was. I don't remember anything like that from my people. Believe me, I would ask everybody if anybody had any memory of it.
Right.
That it, but I think more what I can say is the eclipses, eclipses do bring stuff out.
Right.
And also put things, they hide stuff too.
Right.
Maybe we need, I don't know what, well, she said she came around and realized I needed to have that job.
Yeah.
To realize I don't want that job. They didn't have this job. I use the word ego, not in an egocentric way, but just in a way that our ego tells us, I really need this. And maybe we think we do. And then later we realize, no, I don't need it. But we had to do the process. And maybe that's the benefit of doing it on an eclipse.
Well, and it doesn't mean that everything's going to be pleasant. I mean, often it's that there are things that do need to fall away in order for these things to come into our lives. And we don't always like that process of letting things go. So I can see that. Okay, there's another person that wrote in. Lots of people saying, I love this so much. So that's cool. Then Jeannie Outer Shell Alchemy says, I am loving this. I always have hesitated on making one of these, but I also just recently realized I'm afraid of actually succeeding. Self-sabotage is real, but being aware helps combat all of it.
For sure.
Yeah.
And this is Aries. So we had the Aries new moon, Aries lunar eclipse last year. And then we had the Libra one in October. And now we're having this one. She might want to think back of what was going on for her in October. Maybe her self-sabotage. I don't know anything, but maybe her self-sabotage might be around displeasing other people. That would be South Node and Libra energy kind of getting in the mix. Mm-hmm. So I would think this is the, if you've been scared to do maps or vision boards, this is the year to do it. Get informed during the eclipse. Again, you don't do it right away. This Mars-Saturn conjunction, wait till we get up past that. I love the Mars-Saturn conjunction in Pisces. I like Mars and Saturn on top of each other. I know that it's breaks, and things don't happen the way you want it. But God, it can be very constructive. Saturn delays, it doesn't deny, you know, the old adage. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm happy for a genie yet alchemist, whatever that was. This is the year to do it. You can do it. And do a lot of release work between now and the 8th.
Right. So we moved the treasure mapping. We were going to do it on the 8th or 9th. And we moved it to the 11th for this same reason. Because it was kind of like, because what I find about eclipses too, is they can be somewhat destabilizing. Like, because things are changing and shifting, that it's better to wait a little bit until the dust settles and you have a little bit of distance so you can have a little more understanding of what just happened, a little more
time process. I was so thrilled. That's why I had written the wrong date down. That's perfect.
But yes.
When you told me you moved it to the 11th, I go, oh yeah, that makes so much more sense.
Yeah. Yes. And so for the inner circle, we will be doing the treasure mapping workshop together, just like we did last year. So we'll get together and do that together. You're welcome to do treasure maps on your own as well if you're not in the inner circle. But it's a really powerful thing to do in a big group. So, okay. Yes. Then Baki24, there is a video by another astrologer that warns about treasure maps. He implied that when you haven't processed stuff internally, it becomes a source of disappointment. Also, he implied timing. I'm not sure what that means, but
he implied what?
Timing. Like timings. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I want to give him a little nod and say, sure, if you are not. Well, this goes back to the person who had the job that wasn't right. If you're disconnected from some of your drive, why you want something. Yes, you may end up with something, hooray, and then it is so not who you are.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can see where somebody would say, sure, don't go for a map, but it's just not my, it's not been my experience. It's not been my people's experience. Yeah, I mean.
Well, what you're bringing up, it kind of goes to that one woman's map that you showed who said, I don't really put what I want as much on there anymore. I kind of open up intuitively to what I'm being guided to put on the map. And that, it sounded to me like she's learned that through experience too. that,
thank you for that.
You know, because half the time we manifest something and then it's like, oh God, I don't, and then we're like, we're manifesting the unmanifestation of that thing. Like, I really want the job. And then you're like, but I'm working too much, or I really want the guy, but he's kind of driving me crazy. So I think it's the process of recognizing our role as co-creators with the universe that, yes, we can create from our will and we will probably get what we want. But that's why I love co-creation, because it is both a, here's the desire within me, and I'm also releasing that. I'm also surrendering to timing. I'm surrendering to what's highest and best for all. I'm surrendering to my higher self's guidance and vision for my life that I can't see because I'm at this vantage point. So I think doing the map is part of what gets you to the place of maturation where you can start to see those things.
Right. And this, I can't even believe that I didn't go to where you went. I'm so glad we do this together, because I should have gone there right away, because that is exactly what I was saying in these stories. I was telling the stories, but it's also, again, a maturation of where you are. I need this house. I need this, I need that, whatever. I'm not saying that disparagingly, but really is my map. Is co-created, and it is, like the other treasure mapper said, is somewhat of an oracle. It's my partner. It is helping me as I get through this next year.
Right.
That I will stand by that anytime.
So Tracy, I'm going to tell my treasure map story from last year on the next treasure map episode we're going to do next week. But what I want to throw out there is that on accident, I did basically a one focus map. And it's not because I intentionally did it. It's because I ran out of time. But what's amazing is the one focus touched so many aspects of life. It was like I focused on one thing, but it became this, I love it. This Hannah on our team called it an amplifier. Like it was a symbol. It was a person. I literally put a woman from Instagram that I have watched, and just there's something about her that I just love. And so I put her on the map, and that was basically all I had time to do. But she represented so many things for me. I can't even remember her name. This is the funny thing. Like I cannot, but it's what she represented for me. And so to see the ripple effects of that, but this is where it's an oracle really comes in, because because you don't always know why you're putting things down. You don't always know why you run out of time, and you feel, I've like felt bad that I kind of felt like I did it half baked, but in the end, it ended up being super powerful. Maybe one of the more powerful ones I've done, because there was such a focus versus it feeling like a million different things, you know?
Oh, yeah. Expander. That's very cool.
Hannah says expander. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I like that story about the one focus, because that's why I kind of stopped down when I was going through the Bhagwa saying, but if you really feel compelled to just, I'm not getting away.
And think of Sophia's map and my daughter, all she had was baby animals and all we got was baby animals. And it was super powerful that she just put a bunch of baby animals and they were in abundance, the animals, you know, and very much by surprise. So and that's what I was alluding to earlier in the beginning when I said now it needs parental stamp of approval, because we ended up 10 puppies.
Put somebody from Instagram on your map, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'd be in such bad, because it would just be rescued kittens. I watch those videos way too much.
Yes. Oh my God. I get targeted with all the dog ones. So, okay. So Tracy, this has been so helpful. I just want to make sure that we answered all the questions. So basically, you have between now and April 8th to be making your composting board. We have a video on that. We have from April 8th, but both Tracy and I are thinking that it'd probably be better to start on the 11th or after. So April 11th to about April 23rd to make your treasure map.
Right.
There's a lot of flexibility in how you make your map. Every single year, someone asks, can I do it on Pinterest? It's like, yes, you can do it on Pinterest. Can I do it?
Yes.
Yeah. There's so many different ways. I love to sort of actively seek because the magazine thing doesn't work as well for me, because I tend to not find things that I want. Right. So I tend to actively seek for things and then print them out.
Yes.
And then have them all available. I love the guidance that you gave again about I am, and using present tense when you're affirming. And it's something that Astrolotta, who was on our previous eclipse forecast panel, her one like piece of advice for anybody as we're navigating this eclipse portal is to speak in the I am. And yes. I've been working with that. Like in the morning of my meditation, I will just say, I am an entrepreneur. I am successful. I am healthy. And just saying it that way feels so much different. Like in your body, you can feel right. the energetic resonance. It's absolutely a different thing than like, I want to be healthy. I want to be successful.
You're still out a ring. You're not there if you do, I want.
Yes. Yes.
I am. You're holding it. You're in it.
Yeah. So you're also saying Mercury retrograde may be showing us something that we're neglecting. So we can harness the Mercury retrograde. The other thing, I wanted to say, you've said in the past years, because everyone goes,
I know where you're going.
Can I fix my map? Can I change it?
Yes. You're picking up on all where I dropped it. Thank you so much. So what happens with the Mercury retrograde sometimes is you get to the Cancer new moon and you realize I got to make a little change to my map. And I am here to support you in that little change. I do not want you overhauling your map because then you violated the whole Aries by changing it too much. Yes. But as I said to you, we had one mapper 1 year who put her boyfriend on the map and then they broke up. And so at Cancer, she took him off. She just kind of peeled. And I agree, you certainly do not need to use magazines. Some people don't like the corporate-y feeling of, you know, everything that goes behind that.
Right.
And just whatever the image, whatever catches your attention.
Yeah. Okay. You said that there's going to be this feeling, potentially foot on the gas, foot on the brakes, that we can, again, it's sort of like an energy we can harness to just take our time with our maps.
Time, slow down. If our psyche is bringing something up, process it, and maybe that'll end up on your map.
Yeah.
Something might come up and you go, I don't want that on my map. I mean, there's a lot that Mars-Saturn conjunction will slow things down, but we want to slow down.
Right. Okay. And then if anger comes up, these are all the kinds of things. It's just like, what's underneath it? What is your soul wanting? And maybe create a visual depiction of that somehow, or words.
There might be a word that, or an affirmation, a word, an image that makes sense for the insight you get for why am I losing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Claudia says, thank you. Last year's map was fun to do together with the inner circle. I had success with new satisfying work with some great people that I vibe with. Awesome, Claudia. Okay. All of this is part of our, well, we're doing these every year at the Astrological New Year. So this has become an Astrology Hub tradition, which is just so fun. And the whole cleaning and clearing and decluttering is also now an Astrology Hub tradition. And Tracy always says, do this from January, February, and March. It's all about decluttering and getting rid of stuff. We added the composting board element this year, which I just think makes it even more powerful and potent and like in manifested form, you know? So if you want to join us, we also have amazing resources for this eclipse portal that we're navigating right now that just happens to line up with the astrological new year, which is all amazing. It's still free. We have our panel tomorrow for how to decode eclipses in your chart. You can still join us, astrologyhub.com/eclipse2024. We are going to be opening up our promotional period of the Inner Circle soon as well, too. So if you're like, ooh, I would love to do this as a part of the Inner Circle, that would be awesome. Our open enrollment period where we have the best pricing all year is beginning on March 29th. It will end on April 11th. So you have just enough time to get into the Inner Circle to do our treasure mapping workshop together with Tracy. We'll go through the instructions again. We can show people's, you know, what they're doing. We do that as a meeting so you all can see each other. If you want, you can turn your video off, but it just makes it fun and creates that community element, which I think also amplifies it. So it's even more powerful. So Tracy, thank you so much for being here. This has been so much fun. Thank you to everybody who was here live. It was really fun to be here with you live as well. And happy composting, happy visioning. And I think we have a really powerful year ahead. I hear you. Actually, I want to bring up that Christopher Renstrom was talking about how every Aries new moon, while Pluto was in Capricorn, the Aries was squared.
It was an opportunity for square.
It was a square.
Sometimes they had the square. Oh, God.
Right. Most of the time it was a square. This is in, like you said, this is kind of, liberation. Exactly. Like this liberation for us to actually create more of what we want. So,
yeah. Yes. And I think that might be part of the reason why we got the Saturn-Mars conjunction, because we can't go that free right away because we've had Pluto on top of us. And now we want to run, but no, that might not be the right answer either. So yeah, I think that might be a little lesson from Saturn.
So Nick says, I would really like to do a map. I don't feel like I have the knowledge yet, but this is definitely helping. Okay, Nick, the other thing I would recommend, we have done now 2 years in a row of podcast episodes on treasure mapping. So you can go back to previous years and we'll put those links in the description of this video as well. And every year I feel like we cover it a little bit differently with like a little bit different angles. So go ahead and look back at that. And CF says, when in doubt, throw it out. Awesome. And also wonderful advice, Tracy, whether it's astrological or even just practical. Oh, yay. We have a playlist for you, I think. astrologyhub.com/eclipse playlist is going to get you to those links for all the past episodes.
I hope you have Mars.
You have what?
Gustav Holst. He did Mars. He did all the planets. You might want to throw that in there.
Oh, nice. Nice. Awesome. Not awesome. Okay. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. Tracy, as always, it's so wonderful to reconnect with you. You're so fun and just a wealth of information. So thank you for that.
I love the Astrology Hub.
Yes. And then we'll see you again on our treasure mapping workshop on April 11th. Okay, everybody. Take care. Enjoy. Have fun. It's playful. It's fun. Just enjoy it.
And have fun.
We'll see you again soon. Take care.
Bye.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.